In the first reading today, St. Paul talks about his call to apostleship and the very purpose for which he was called. It is to bring about the obedience of faith. That statement about the obedience of faith comes right at the very beginning of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and it comes again at the very end of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. So everything about that whole letter has these as bookends. St. Paul is laying all this out and saying, this is what we're supposed to be about, the obedience of faith. That is our call, is to the obedience of faith. Now, when we look at what has been going on in the church of late, it's not seeming to follow that pattern. And it's tragic that on Christmas Eve we would even have to talk about this. But make no mistake, what was released from the Vatican this week was done on purpose, right before Christmas. The old saying is that the wheels of the Vatican turn very slowly. Would it have been a problem if they wanted to put out this document that they could have waited another 3 weeks? No. Could they have put it out a couple of months ago? Absolutely. So why put it out right before Christmas? Well, for some people, it's going to look like quite a Christmas gift. And for others, it's going to look like something that's going to spoil their Christmas. So we have to make a point about what is going on here and what it is that we have to accept and what we must recognize. First of all, if you look at some statements like the Canadian Bishops' Conference, they go out of their way to say, oh, well, see, this isn't really anything that's new. This is about the fact that we can bless people that are in bad situations if they want to get their lives turned around. We've always been able to bless individuals that are in bad situations. We didn't need a new document to tell us that we can do what we've always been able to do. We've always been able to give blessings to people who are sinful, just like you and me. So we didn't need a new document to tell us that we can bless sinners. So there is something else afoot which bishops all around the world are recognizing. And they are telling their priests that absolutely you cannot do this. And indeed we cannot. Because it specifically talks about people in irregular situations. Couples living together outside of marriage. People of the same sex that want to think that they're married, whatever the case may be. We cannot, and we will not, bless such things. Can we bless individual people? Yes. Can we bless a sinful situation? No. I thought about this the other day. I was up by the abortion mill up in Robbinsdale to say Mass on Tuesday. And I said to the people there, you know, to bless a person is a far greater thing than to bless a thing or a place. And I said, now, if the abortionist next door found out that I was here today, and they came over and said, we'd like you to have you come over and bless our clinic. I said, would I be able to do that? In general, there's absolutely no problem with blessing a doctor's clinic. Would I bless an abortion mill? Absolutely not. I pray exorcism prayers every time I go past the place. Yes, I will do that. I'll pray for the conversion of the people who work there. I do that every time I go past the place. Will I bless what they're doing there? Absolutely not. Now, if that's just the building in which they are doing something that is so heinously evil, can we bless the people who are doing evil? That is, can we bless the evil that they're doing? And the answer is no. Now, if the abortionist were to come and say, I want to get my life together, I want to get out of this, and I'm really struggling, could you give me a blessing? Yes, we could do that, to be able to bless them to get out of the evil that they want that they're in. But we can't bless them in the evil. We can't bless the evil that they're doing. And that's the part we have to be very clear about. We cannot bless sin. We can bless sinners. We cannot bless sin because it goes against the will of God. If the whole point of our faith is about the obedience of faith, then that's what we have to be about. It is conformity to Jesus Christ. And anything that goes against the faith, anything that goes against the will of God, we have to reject that outright. And so that's the part that we have to recognize now today with where we're at. Don't let this shake you. Don't let this get you upset. Because there's nothing, sadly, that's new here. This is the nonsense that's been going on. It's just now put in writing. It's a tragic day. And yet, once again, we have to be able to see things in a spiritual perspective. That is, that this is one step closer to bringing about the fulfillment of the crucifixion of the church. It has to happen. The whole point of the papacy is about clarity and unity. This particular papacy has been all about confusion and division. And the one thing that I can say about this, as I mentioned to the people yesterday, for the first time in my life, we actually have bishops standing up and being bishops. They're saying, no, we are not going to do this. They're standing up and they're instructing their priests that you cannot do this. We have other bishops that are rejoicing in it. And so we're seeing the division that's happening. But we need to rejoice that these guys, the good ones, are finally standing up and finally saying publicly that we can't do this. That's the part that we can rejoice in, that God brings good out of evil. And so we look at what we're going to be celebrating tomorrow. Out of the evil of our sins, God brought about the incarnation, the birth of his Son. Jesus came because of our sinfulness. He came to redeem us, and he has come to redeem the people spoken of in this letter as well. Jesus wants the salvation of all. And that's what each one of us has to be praying for. We need to pray for the conversion of people. We can't bless the evil that they're involved in, obviously, but that is once again the problem of our day. Everything is okay. God just loves me the way that I am. He understands. Yeah, he understands exactly what we're doing and why we're doing it. That doesn't mean he isn't going to condemn it if it's something that's evil. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us just because we're doing something evil, but that's not the question. Of course God loves us because that's all he can do. The question is, do we love him? That's what it has to be about. And that's the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith isn't merely just believing what the truth is, but rather it is loving the one who is the truth. Once we know what the truth is, once we know the faith, then we have to take it to the next level and love the Lord who has revealed all of these truths to us. And so when St. Paul is calling us to that obedience, to understand what that means. So we have to be a light in the world. We have to be the ones who, if we have that faith, to bring that out into the world and to live it. So yes, it is tragic that there is even something like this coming out from Rome. And yet, we also have to then look at it the other way. What does this mean for you and me individually? It means we have an opportunity to live the faith, to be able to stand up and say, no, we can't do something that is evil. We cannot approve of something that is evil. We can't take part in something that is evil. We're not going to condemn the people, but we have to condemn the actions. We have to love the sinner but hate the sin. So it's all about making the right distinctions. And when we're dealing with confusion and vague stuff, that's what they're failing to do. They're not making the right distinctions. There's a bishop from the Philippines who said, well, you see, what's going on is they're making this new kind of blessing. It's a blessing of mercy. In other words, again, if somebody really wants to convert, can we bless that person? Well, of course we can, but we didn't need a new kind of blessing for that. That's been around since day one. Somebody wants to have a conversion and they come and say that I want to convert, of course. Think what we start with when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Yeah, this isn't anything new. So what we have to be able to recognize is that the truth cannot change. It will never change. It cannot change. We have to uphold the truth, but we must uphold it with charity to bring that truth into the world, because right now the world is very confused. And sadly, within the church, there is confusion. There should be no confusion in the minds of any of us, because we know what the truth is. And if you know what the truth is, if somebody tries to tell you something that's opposite, you can reject that because it's not true. So we don't need to worry about this nonsense, because it's not true. It's not part of the faith. In fact, it goes against it. And so we must stand always for the truth. That's the obedience of faith. So be at peace. Don't let this mess up your Christmas. Don't let it mess up your soul. Don't let it take your peace away, because you already have the truth. And the truth, as I said a minute ago, cannot change, because remember, the truth is a person. Is the person of Jesus Christ, and of him St. Paul says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can't change. The truth can't change. People want to say, well, that was 2,000 years ago. Now we're living in modern society. The truth hasn't changed. Doesn't matter if the world continues on for another 10,000 years, the truth still can't change. So that's why we can be at peace. Yes, there are people that are working against the faith, but they're not going to win. We know that. The jaws of hell will not prevail. Jesus promised that. We don't have to worry about it. All we have to do is be faithful, because we know who the Savior is. Keep your focus on the Lord. We're going to celebrate his birth tomorrow, the anniversary of his birth. We look at our salvation. We know where it all comes from. So should we be surprised if the devil's going to try and undermine it, if he's going to try and take it away, if he's going to try and cause confusion and division? Of course not. That's what he's been doing for thousands of years. So just keep your focus where it belongs. God came into this world to save sinners. He is our only hope. He is our only salvation. So don't worry about all the nonsense. Just keep your focus on the Lord. Then you can be at peace. And then tomorrow, when we celebrate the birth of our Lord, there will be no confusion and there will be no division. Because he is the point of unity. Because he is the truth. And when we have him, we have peace.